The following program is brought to you by the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, and I'm Pastor Schulze.
Hear me today about the glistening white Jesus. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over the station. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for thy divine anointing on this message in the name of Jesus. Amen. We shall continue our study of the Gospel of Mark, and we shall go to the 9th chapter, where I shall read this wonderful story of the Transfiguration to you, as it is written in the King James Bible. Remember, at one time, Jesus was transfigured into his divine glory while he was with us here on earth. It says, "And he," that is Jesus, "said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power." After 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said unto Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." For he did not know what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." Now, dear ones, what amazes me is that the same man, Peter, who was privileged to see the transfiguration of Jesus, was found earlier, a week earlier, rebuking Jesus, and then Jesus said to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." The only man of God I've ever known to rebuke Jesus was about to see Jesus in his celestial glory. Does that amaze you? You as the disciples may say one of those most terrible things today, and 6 days later Jesus may honor you to let you see his divine glory. This answers a question many dedicated Christians have. "Pastor, I have failed you once, terribly, and I think it's over with." Peter rebuked Jesus. This was very disrespectful. Did he lose his salvation over it? No. Did Jesus take him off the list of the apostles? No, not so. Peter repented, and Peter stuck with Jesus, and a week later, Jesus treated Peter as if nothing ever happened. Let me ask you this. If somebody says some terrible thing to you or about you, and you find out, can you embrace that same person a week later without having any grudge towards that one? Jesus did not hold any grudge towards anyone. And so, a week later, Jesus had forgotten all about Peter's bad behavior. You may have done something similar, and it's still hanging over your head, but I want you to know, if you repented of it, it's not hanging over Jesus' head anymore. The devil, of course, tries to remind you of this terrible thing you've done 5, 10, 20 years ago, and so you're likely to say, "I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to receive the blessings of the Lord." But Jesus says, "Come on now. Come on. Let's go up to the mountain, and I'll show you something wonderful." Oh, I like this Jesus. The devil likes to hold all your past sins over your head all the time. Some Christians do that also, but Jesus does not do that. He has long put your sins, my friend, into the sea of forgetfulness. One also asks the question, how did Peter ever get to the point of rebuking Jesus? I believe we have the answer from the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians. This is a story of the Apostle Paul having what some would call an out-of-body experience, where he went to heaven. He saw the third heaven, which is also called paradise, and while he was there, he experienced the glory of the Lord. He heard the voice of the Lord speaking wonderful, sacred things that lifted his spirit. When he came back down on earth, back to his own body, he said that because of the abundance of the revelation that God gave him a thorn in the flesh in order to keep him humble. He had to have this thorn in the flesh the rest of his life. Well then, what do we learn from this text here? And we learn that it is very difficult for any of us to have a great revelation of God and stay humble and broken. The Apostle Paul was one of the greatest men who ever lived on the face of the earth, and yet even he could not handle a great revelation, a great spiritual experience, without becoming prideful, unless God would give him a thorn in the flesh. We also see this in the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, where he said that the Corinthian Christians came behind and no gifts. They had all the gifts. But seven times in that same book, he talks about the Corinthians having been puffed up, having become prideful. So I want to tell you this, my friend, is what happened to Peter after he got this great revelation of God, where he could say to Jesus, "I know who you are, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And this is the greatest revelation anyone could possibly have. But in no time, Peter got all puffed up about this, thinking that now he could boss Jesus around. Yes, he felt that now he had the right to counsel Jesus, to instruct Jesus, and to rebuke Jesus. No, he did not receive a thorn in the flesh like Paul did, but he had a similar experience of humiliation, and that is, he had to live with the shame of having rebuked our Lord the rest of his life. That also was a thorn in the flesh. Jesus forgave him right away, but he remembered it all the way through. And that comes out in his letters, my friend, where he exhorts others to humble himself and to serve and to love one another. You say, "I want to have a great revelation from God." Well, realize that with that, God may give you a thorn in the flesh. There's something within us that gets us to think, if we have a great revelation of God, a great experience with God, that we had a lot to do with it, that we are a little bit better than the rest of the people. But listen to what Jesus said to Peter after he had this great revelation. He said, "Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." So Jesus said to Peter, "You have nothing to do with getting this revelation." He said, "I gave it to you. And I didn't give it to you because you're better. I gave it to you because I've chosen to give it to you because you need it." But Peter did not hear that too well. He thought he was somebody special to get this revelation as to who Jesus was. There's something else that may happen to us when we get a revelation. We have a tendency to get spiritually disorientated. That is, we have a tendency to lose our vision of the right and the true. And so this is why when Peter had heard about Jesus' suffering and death, he rebuked Jesus and said, "Not so, my Lord." When we, my friend, get into pride, we lose our vision of the cross. This has happened to a lot of people who have the gifts. They have lost their vision of the cross. And that's just what the devil wants. The devil did not want Jesus to suffer. The devil did not want Jesus to die. And so he spake through Peter becoming the mouthpiece of the devil, saying to Jesus, "Not so. We don't want you to die." And yet the very death of Jesus is what brought us our salvation. Then Jesus, of course, as you recall from last week, went on to say, "It is not only that I will have to die on the cross, but you also will have to die on your cross, so that your life may be eternal." Now then, going back to the 9th chapter, or shall I say forward to it, let's look at the beautiful text again, the Transfiguration text. Jesus was transfigured before his three disciples. The Amplified Bible puts it this way: "He became resplendent with divine brightness." In verse 3 it says, his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. Friend, if you want to look for the whitest white there ever was, you find it here in Mark chapter 9 in Jesus' transfiguration. What does it all mean? I believe it means, my friend, that Christ's kingdom had begun to come in glory and majesty. The Jews did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah, because what was missing, it was not the miracles. No, the supernatural power over earth, over nature, over disease, over the devil. What was missing to them, these Jews, was a manifestation of the divine glory of God. So they could not accept Jesus as a Messiah. But here, my friend, in this story, the three apostles, Peter, James, and John, were able to see Jesus in his majesty and glory in his transfiguration, and so they saw the kingdom of God in Jesus. Oh, this is extremely powerful. My friend, as Jesus was seen in his bright, shiny garment, as white as snow, so will you and I, if we're faithful to Jesus, be transfigured when we see him face to face. His whiteness that is shown here will be our whiteness. His purity will be our purity. Hallelujah, and I'm looking forward to that day. There appeared unto them Elijah and Moses. Two more men showed up on the scene. So we have two great saints from the Old Testament, from the church triumphant, and we have three saints, Peter, James, and John, from the church militant, meeting together with Jesus and seeing his glory. Yes, he was transfigured. He was transfigured as he prayed, as Luke puts it. That means his transfiguration was gradual, from glory to glory to glory, so as not to confuse the disciples or to cause them to be unnecessarily afraid. It tells us during this time of transfiguration, Jesus was conversing with Elijah and Moses. Oh, wouldn't you have like to have your tape recorder going on this sacred conversation? But Peter interrupted this conversation and said, this is a good place. Let's build three tabernacles. Here, one for you, Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Poor Peter. No, 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 not poor Peter, my friend. At least he was there. And when he said that, a rather earthly suggestion, don't you think, at that precise moment, God came on the scene and took over the program. It says, and there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. Well, what does this mean? That, my friend, means that God was saying, no, 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 Peter, from now on, it's no longer Moses and Elijah. It is Jesus above Moses and above Elijah. It is Jesus above Abraham. It is Jesus above Noah. It is Jesus above all the patriarchs and all the prophets, above all men. Hear ye him. He, the Messiah, is now here, the absolute final authority, the King of kings and the Lord of glory. Well, we all wish the Pharisees would have been there, who were continually bringing up Moses said, Abraham said, the prophet said. They should have heard what God had to say. This is my beloved Son, hear ye him. So let me summarize this little message. Number one, isn't Jesus wonderful that he forgave Peter for his rebuking him, and that he held no grudge against him? But after this great failure, he took him to the Mount of Transfiguration as if nothing had ever happened. Oh, what a Jesus we have. Secondly, know that, my friend, the day will come when we too, as his followers, as Jesus, will walk in white garments with the glory of the Lord upon us as we continue to live in the kingdom of God on earth. Thirdly, my friends, above all, hear, I say hear, Jesus. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Goodbye now until next week.
In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.